Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. A clean start tonight. Odyssey didn't bug, that's great. Oklahoma legislature passes a bill that would ban nearly all abortions. There are exceptions in cases of saving the life of the mother, rape, or incest. I think that's the ideal position, so we're starting to see already states expecting Roe v. Wade to be abolished. And they're already making laws that are in contradiction with Roe v. Wade, knowing that it won't be law very soon. Very interesting. Oklahoma has always been a leader in pushing right-wing stuff in America. It's always one of the states that you see going very strong against abortion. So we're starting to see the effect of this Supreme Court decision. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Someone was asking, what's the total death count in this war so far? It's very hard to evaluate. Last time I checked was about 3 weeks ago. Ukraine claiming around 14,000 Russian soldiers dead at their hand. But that is a much higher count than what is officially acknowledged from Russia, which would probably number today, I don't know, somewhere around the 2,000. I think I've seen an official recognition that there was about 1,500 back then, and Ukraine was saying 14,000. So you have to conclude that maybe the truth is in the middle, and that both parties are trying to overplay the death on the other side and downplay the deaths on their side. Go away, says JF. This law is going to lead to a lot of false rape allegations. Well, let it be. And the thing is, the law specifies that it needs to be a false rape. It needs to be a rape allegation to the police. And so there's also laws against lying to the police. Hopefully they get applied. You know, a lot of people have been making this kind of subversive argument for abortion, saying, oh, if we make it just legal for rape, people will start claiming that they got raped. I've never seen evidence to that. I've never seen a comparison between states that have liberal abortion laws somehow leading to less rape allegations. I think it's a misdirection. I get the logic. It's logical that it would go that way. But you have to include other factors, like the fact that in a right-wing state, perhaps lying to the police will be taken much more seriously than in a left-wing state. Someone was asking if we should worry about monkeypox. So there's been an explosion of monkeypox cases. A virus that seems to like it leads to red flesh. It leads to, you can see a scab developing on some parts of your anatomy. It seems to eat the skin, and one of the symptoms is just seeing a scab appear in some place. It's believed that close contact with the skin is what leads to catching it. It's believed that, I believe from what I've read, but I've not digged in depth. But from what I've read, it seems to come from Africa. And the first case in the US has been identified according to an ABC News story. Should you worry? I think that if you have a good immune system, you shouldn't worry. These viruses have been around forever and they never annoyed you. If you are lacking some nutrients, if we're in an economic crisis, you're gonna see this virus having devastating effects, perhaps in areas that are poorly fed. You might have this, but if you are doing good, if you are healthy, I don't think you have to be afraid of monkeypox. Go away, says monkeypox has a 10% mortality rate. Stay safe, bros. Yeah, and you know, don't have sex with people who have, because they say it's not a sexually transmissible disease, but they believe that a lot of the early cases were acquired through partnerships. So one partner passing to the other, and they believe it's not because it passes particularly through the sexual act itself, but because of the close contact with skin. So don't shake the hands and don't interact with people who look like leprous biblical characters, you know, covered in scabs, and you should be fine. I think you'll be fine. All right, what do we have on the news? Utter nonsense. Holly eviscerates energy secretary for blaming inflation on Putin price hike. So as Senator Josh Hawley was pointing out, the price hike on fuel has begun way before the Russian war even begun. It had already a 30% increase before, and it has steadily increased since then. So you can you can attribute some amount of shock to the Russian actions, and perhaps a shock to the market and the expectations. But definitely the processes that are at play in increasing fuel price were in action way before Putin did anything. Go away, says, as JF commented on the ABC vid where the woman talks about decreased antibodies from getting a fourth booster shot. No, I haven't seen that video. You'd have to send me a link. This is a claim we've heard again and again, that the vaccine would weaken your immune system. And my position on this is still, this is a viable hypothesis. It is supported by certain amounts of fact. For example, there is a lot of herpes zoster resurgence in response to getting the vaccine. And this has been detected by a study in Israel. And anecdotally, I know that it's also happening outside of Israel. So there's something being done to the immune system by this vaccine. But it's probably what happens with a lot of vaccines and a lot of infections. Somehow, when the immune system gets its attention driven to some virus, its attention drops against other viruses. That's kind of a human way to explain it, an anthropomorphized way. But I think there is such a thing in the immune system as a balance of not being able to pay attention to all viruses equally at the same time. So send me the link to the ABC vid if you want me to review it. But I'm supposing that it's based on similar data as I've reviewed before.
We were trying to get a handle on, yes.
Okay, so let's have a look at this video.
Got some new data on boosters.
There's a new published study out in Lancet, the journal Lancet Infectious Disease, about the fourth dose and what happens to our antibody levels. It is
the fourth dose. I cannot believe you are being sold a product that doesn't work. You're being sold it four times and you're still taking it.
It is not a surprise that they've released new data confirming that after the fourth dose of Pfizer or Moderna, that antibody levels rise significantly. They surge in the several.
Oh, God, that's not a drop. That's a rise, they claim. They've been saying it for each of the booster doses, by the way. They've said, oh, yeah, you know, the second booster dose will really cement the immunology, and you'll be protected for much longer. And then we've had Fauci say this for the third dose also. It was like, here's the strategy we're gonna go for. For two booster doses, and the third one will be the right one. It's going to develop a much longer immunity, and now they're saying it for the fourth dose.
Weeks after that dose, we've known that for a while, but here are the caveats. We don't know how long that lasts, number one. And our immune response, remember, is not just about antibodies. It's about that T-cell response also, which you can't really measure as well as just a pure antibody level. And it's about whether...
Okay, this is what you would have heard on a alternative news show like mine a year or two ago. They're now at mainstreaming this knowledge on ABC that, you know what, these vaccines are not perfect. We don't even know what's the holistic aspects of the contribution to T cell immunity and a more complex view of immunity. We just know that maybe there's a little rise of antibodies in your body as a response to it.
Or not, they're blocking or neutralizing antibodies to the variant that we're seeing. So when people hear these headlines, they shouldn't be surprised. Yes, of course, you're going to get a surge in your antibody levels, but how long that lasts is the issue. And it's certainly not just about more boosting for everyone. People who have high antibody levels, there's the potential.
But you've already adopted the public policy that it was all about boosting everyone. You've punished people for not taking the boosters. You've declared them unvaccinated and incapable of going to McDonald's.
I want to underscore the potential. We haven't seen any evidence of this immune phenomenon known as tolerance, where if you already have high antibody levels and you get another booster, that your immune system can start to say, well, what am I needed for, and can kind of start to shut down.
Wow.
So if you're in that category of people who the FDA and CDC is recommending to get a booster, 50 and over, 65 and over with a chronic medical condition, yes, by all means. But everyone else, don't think that more boosting is the answer.
Well, she didn't say that there would be a drop. She said it's a possibility that we're looking into, that there could be an habituation to the fourth dose. She didn't say it was detected.
Don't know that that's the case yet.
All right. That's very important information. We appreciate it. Thank you very much, Dr. Jen.
All right. So you didn't describe properly to me what this was about. They said they would perhaps look into whether some habituation phenomenon happens. All right, if you would like to support the show, use the dollar button on the Odyssey chat. Odyssey is my favorite platform for super chats. As an alternative, if you don't like it, you can use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Galaxies without dark matter perplex astronomers. Researchers say a cosmic collision could have created two galaxies that don't contain the mysterious substance, but others cast doubt on the claim. They have detected, you know, there's these nebulous galaxies. I don't remember what's the exact term. I think it's not nebulous, but it's those galaxies that are very diffuse, and they are believed to have no dark matter, and we already knew of two of those. They have detected a line of 11 galaxies that don't contain any dark matter, which could all have been created in the same ancient collision. So if there's a line, you would think, okay, there's some mechanism that has led to each of these galaxies to lose their dark matter. The hypothesis, the thing with these galaxies is not that we have any way to prove that they don't have dark matter. It's just that with these galaxies, the rotational speed doesn't seem to require dark matter for explaining the speed. And so that's why scientists conclude maybe those are galaxies without dark matter, but we have no clue. Ultimately, it seems that these galaxies have collided. And in the collision, the dark matter would have been brought preferably toward one of the partners of the collision, leaving the other behind without dark matter. If that is true, then dark matter is truly a particle-like piece of matter. It's not one of those phenomena that we have to modify gravity. Really, you could carry dark matter with you as you collide with a galaxy. Guy from V says, all of a sudden they've declared all galaxies have black holes at the center, and they're showing pictures of them like it's no big deal. From what I can remember, black holes at the center of galaxies was a theory, and now pictures? What the fuck? Well, yeah, I think it's been a theory a long time ago, but I think people have settled to believe that, yes, there are. First, there was the observation of massive black holes at the center of our own galaxy, which you can't observe the black hole, but you can observe their gravitational effects on the things around them. So I think there's no doubt that there are black holes at the center of our galaxy, and I think it makes sense that there are, because there has to be an accumulation of mass at the middle of an extremely heavy galaxy. You would expect there to be a black hole, and I think the observations are in line with this. So yes, I think it's something that has shifted progressively from a theory to, yeah, relatively accepted. I wouldn't, if you were to show me a galaxy that there's no black hole at the center of, I wouldn't deny it and say, no, I strongly believe that there is a black hole. But it makes sense. It makes sense. And I think there's no reason to reject that hypothesis at the moment. Guy from V says, how about the solar probe that withstand 4 bazillion degrees? I don't know what you're talking about, but I guess they've designed that probe to be relatively close to the sun. That's why it's surviving. Ongoing surrender at Azovstal on a far bigger scale than Kiev has acknowledged. Moscow said on Thursday that 1,730 Ukrainian fighters had surrendered in Mariupol over 3 days, including 771 in the past 24 hours, claiming a surrender on a far bigger scale than Kiev has acknowledged since ordering its garrison to stand down. Interestingly, the people who surrendered at Azovstal have been registered by the Red Cross. So we have a neutral arbiter there. The Red Cross doesn't participate in the surrendering process or anything, but they are hired by both sides. They are asked to come there and to record the identity of the people being captured. That way, it allows these people to be traced. It allows to be sure that Russia will not do anything weird with these prisoners, execute them in silence or whatever. And it allows also the families of these battalion members to contact them, or to at least have some news about where they are. So they have been captured by Russia, all in line with the international conventions for the treatment of prisoners of war, and properly registered by the Red Cross. That's great, because it gives us a true count of who was there. Now, there may be a handful of people in Azovstal who want to die there, but with 1,700 soldiers, that was probably the bigger part of the pocket of resistance. Now, there are videos of people still in Azovstal who claim to be still fighting, but I don't think they are fighting constructive way. I think they're just waiting to be shot eventually. They just don't want to surrender. We've seen video of the prisoners made at Azovstal here from the Associated Press. Lots of prisoners. They had been holding Azovstal as their last stand. They're giving their identity paper. Many of them were wounded and hungry. Of course, they were living on their last reserves. That's why the surrendering happens now. They were on their last food and water reserves. Massive surrender, which has been covered in some mainstream media, as we were pointing yesterday. It has been covered as an evacuation. They're getting evacuated. And in fact, Kiev was saying, mission accomplished, the mission is over in Mariupol. That's a very weird way to phrase it. That looks like a full surrender to me. Lapitop says, JF, have you considered making a video on humans' evolutionary past, addressing the out-of-Africa hypothesis, alternative hypotheses, how different populations migrated, etc.? I could, but it's not a domain in which we have certainty. So if you want certainty from me, you better wait for my book, The Moral Signal, because that's the moral signal is what I can be sure of. Whether we came out of Africa, I don't know. But from our current cognition, I can trace back certain things, certain evolutionary events that must have happened. Which is why I've never truly made videos about the out of Africa theory or anything. It's because, what can I say? I can present the hypothesis to you. And then it's like, it could be this, or it couldn't be, or it could be something else. We just don't know. And I have great difficulty covering stuff that we can't know for sure, because I'm very much a reductionist to what can we know for sure. What we can know for sure, for example, is that the Neanderthal line has reproduced with us, and it didn't with the Africans. So that's a big, big clue. But what does that mean? Does this mean we don't come out of Africa? Certainly not. But I prefer the things we can know for sure. And that's how I operate with the moral signal. Given the current state of our cognition, I can take a whole subset of human behavior and say, these human behaviors must have evolved after these human behaviors. Now, that's for sure, whether it happened in India or Africa or Europe, doesn't matter. See, that's what I like to do. Hermit says, any ETA on the moral signal? No, but I have to work hard on it. I have to work the whole summer so that we can get finally to the freaking publication of this book. Go away, says JF. Ryan Dawson was right about Turkey blocking Finnish NATO membership. Where is Ryan getting his info? He must have high-level contacts in every government around the world. I don't think that Ryan operates much through contacts, although I know he has contacts. I think he's a thinker, and I think he's been through so many cycles of war, and he's been interested in wars back in the days when no one, when you couldn't do... You couldn't do independent war coverage back then. But he was doing it. He was one of the first interested in the whole propaganda around war. And that's from 2001, you know, from September 11. So because of this, I think he's seen so much that he can already guess the dynamics of power. And he can already see something like Turkey coming. So yes, I think... But what he has mentioned is that Turkey would be using his refusal, perhaps as a leverage to get some gifts. So I think we're still at the point where they're threatening to refuse Finland and Sweden. But we're not at the point yet where the US has come to Turkey and said, hey, I'm going to drop that many billion dollars in your country. How about now? Do you accept Finland and Sweden? I think it's what we're going to see. Warg Washington says, Jeff, what are your thoughts on Vril? Vril? I have no idea what this is. I can Google it. Vril can be harnessed. The Coming Race is a novel by Edward Bulwer-Lytton, published in 1871. It has also been published as Vril, The Power of the Coming Race. Some readers have believed the account of a superior subterranean master race and the energy form called Vril, at least in part. Well, what do I think about this? It sounds like bullshit from a fiction book. I don't know if it's worth getting into the detail. Silver Spider says, hey Jeff, I was reading TRP, but I stopped and decided to read The Selfish Gene first. Wow, I thought you were exaggerating about Dawkins being a cuck, but in the edition I was listening to on audiobook, he has added chapters from the original, basically pandering to leftists, reciting ideas about altruism. Oh yeah, Dawkins is a total cuck. Dawkins was so felt so annoyed at the fact of being a man making further discoveries in science that he actually started giving free pass to women, including Susan Blackmore. When Susan Blackmore comes out with her terrible book, The Meme Machine, Richard Dawkins decides to give her the honor of writing the opening letter to her book. And if you want to see Dawkins' cock, look at this letter that he wrote in The Meme Machine. He says, basically he says, I think this girl is wrong, but she's a woman. So let's put her ideas forward and let's... I don't remember the exact words that he used, but that's what he did. And then who did he decide to back in the militant atheist community? He decides to back Jacqueline Glenn, a plagiarist. Like, Dawkins refuses to even mention my name, to even mention the idea of a revolutionary phenotype. He could put this forward, actual science, original science. Instead, he decides to back Jacqueline Glenn, who didn't have an original thought in her head, so much so that she had to plagiarize 17 different authors. I made the video about Jacqueline Glenn. I don't remember the title. It was oh my god, that was an awesome video. My video about Jacqueline Glenn. 17 cases of plagiarism, copying Sam Harris, other atheist thinkers. This girl had nothing in her brain. And Dawkins decides to back her. Why? Woman. So that's how much Dawkins cuck, and that's where it leads him today, to have no contact with actual developments in science, but he's tried to put women forward at least. Bravo, Dawkins. None of these women will fuck you. None of these women. This should set on alarm bells across all industries. House passes fuel price gouging bill. I don't know if this will come to be law because the House of Representatives passed it at 217 versus 207. So it's probably likely that it won't pass the Senate, I guess. But it's a law that gives Joe Biden power to declare an emergency and to decide that certain fuel sellers are selling at an abusive price. If the price is judged unconscionably excessive, that is always the response of the Democrats to their own mistakes into how they manage the economy. It's like, oh, we're going to make it a law that you can't sell at high price. Well, what do you think this is going to cause? Shortage? If you're going to tell me that I can only sell at $5.39 a gallon, and then you have the Democrats coming after my business and saying, oh, that's unconscionably excessive. Well, okay, I'm not going to sell fuel anymore then. If I'm going to have criminal responsibility for just selling at the price that it's the only price I can sell it at, then it's not worth it for me. One moment. I had to clear my voice. So yes, it's not going to work, this law, which is why I expect the Republicans to object to that law and not pass it. Go Away says Jeff could take off in the MSM and mainstream scientific community if he comes out and talk about his process of de-radicalization, how I left the alt-right by JFG, forward by Richard Dawkins. I would never. If I was to do it, it would be for a joke. I would do the joke, but I wouldn't do it for real because I don't believe in disavowing things that were things first that are true. Okay, so it's true that there's an attack on white people, and if you deny this, you have your eyes closed. So it's not a matter of popularity or, oh my god, having access to the mainstream, I don't give a shit. I do not disavow something that is true to begin with. No possibility. Secondly, I don't disavow for... I don't have regrets. I do not. I do not experience my past coverage and the people we were interviewing as something to be ashamed of. I am very proud, and you will never have from my pen or from my mouth an abandonment of what I've done. I've given a voice to people who everyone wanted to hear, but no one wanted to give them a voice. I will never back down on this. I will never tarnish my own legacy. I don't care about dying here in front of 10 currently watching viewers. I don't give a shit. I have changed the world by simply being more open and more understanding and more in line with the truth. That's a nice place to die from. What's not a nice place to die from is regret and, oh my God, I could have had this if I had cocked a little more, if I had opened my legs a little more to get it in the ass a little more, maybe I could have had this or that. Fuck this shit. I've set my life to survive by myself on my own wealth and possibilities and capacity to farm, all of this to preserve this last possibility of screaming freedom to all the cucks that want you to kneel these days. And I think it might pay off to be that stubborn at some point. Maybe at some point in the future there will be medals of honor for the people who decided not to kneel. For now, there's no reward in society. You get cancel culture, you get attacks on you, your family, your wallet. But I don't care. I've chosen that path. Pennsylvania County bans ballot drop boxes. A standing room only crowd made up mostly of organized left-leaning political activists shouted, "Shame, shame," when commissioners in Pennsylvania Lancaster County voted to remove a ballot drop box placed at the county building on Monday, the day before the primary election. Yes, we have to get rid of these drop boxes. They are open invitations for ballot fraud and for not having control over the circumstances in which the vote occurs. So I think that even if it was not a perfect movie, 2000 Mules makes a good case that the ballot boxes are a point of exploitation where the consent of the voter is clearly not recorded in this process. Daryl says, "I learned of JF through the Good Doctor's radio show." Well, that's nice. David Duke, it's been a while. It's been a while I haven't spoken to David Duke. It would be nice to talk to him again. Biden unveils $100 million more in weapons to Ukraine literally moments after $40 billion had been approved. Yeah, so we have this. They're announcing this by sections like this. It's like it's the 10th or something, the 12th time that American taxpayers are sending free money to Ukraine. It's disgusting. And on top of it, you have the Senate giving $40 billion, and at the same time, you have Biden giving $100 million more. All of the branches of our government are corrupt, and we are cucking to Ukraine in the same way that for the last 30 years we've cucked to Israel. And that tells you the kind of network that are at play here. Thomas says, "JF, what do you think caused people to migrate either east or west? Preference for sunrise or sunset?" that's a good question, you know, because I'm part of a, I'm part of a genetic line that goes from the Scythians. So in the Caucasus area, and they colonized Western Europe, and then I'm part of the subsection of the Western Europeans that colonized North America. Clearly, we have in my family, we have a direction, and it's west. But it's a very interesting question. I don't think it has to do with the sunrise or sunset. Why are they going that way? Good question. I think most human behaviors are explainable by other humans. So I think it must boil down to, well, those people who were going west had probably to fight already existing populations, because the West was overoccupied and has been overoccupied for many thousands of years, I guess. Whereas those people going to the East, I don't know, they may have faced perhaps more empty space on the side of Russia, you know. I don't know. That's a tentative explanation. I don't know how much I believe in it, but I'm throwing it out there. Pineapple Platypotamus says, America is the promised land. Is it? Well, we're about to lose it. I think we've lost it a long time ago. Finnish president pledges will commit to Turkey's security in Biden meeting. Today I'm proud to welcome and offer the strong support in the United States for the application of two great democracies and two close, highly capable partners to join the strongest, most powerful defensive alliance in the history of the world. Okay, so the US is very willing to have Sweden and Finland. If the US wants it to happen, I think that they will find a way to bend Turkey. Because Turkey, I don't think they're really serious about... They said that Finland and Sweden were breeding ground for terrorism. I get that they have immigration problems, but have they really been breeding grounds for terrorism in a way that would threaten Turkey in any way? That's kind of surprising to me. It looks like a made-up excuse. So I conclude that Ryan is correct and that Turkey is just trying to leverage because they want some grant from Joe Biden. And knowing just how much the United States want the expansion of NATO around Russia, I don't see how the United States probably is willing to write a white check to Turkey. No matter how much they demand, they will find a way to make them say yes. Lapitop says, Norway is already part of NATO. Stoltenberg is highly involved. Okay, but now we have Finland and Sweden applying. There has been some conflict around mostly the line of fights that we have discussed in the Ryan Dawson interview. So Izium, Popaskana, and around Kherson there is a counteroffensive north of Kherson from the Ukrainian forces. Lots of artillery exchange around Donetsk. This was a building on fire due to Russian shelling. So Donetsk area. We had... images of destruction coming from the Dnipropetrovsk region. Here's one building destroyed by artillery shells. And we had fighters publish a video. The deputy commander of the Azov regiment, Kalina, recorded a video. He says that he is in Azovstal, thereby refuting the reports of the Russian media that he has already left the plant. The operation continues, the details of which I will not disclose.
Слава Україні! Сьогодні 85-й день війни. Я і командування перебуваю на території.
So it looks like there are still pockets of resistance in Azovstal, but I would think that that's a handful of fighters and that it's a matter of time before they get caught. The mainstream media has been covering a lot of this particular trial. It's a trial of a Russian soldier for shooting a man. And the dead civilian that he shot was had a wife. And the wife is present at the trial. And he was asking her to... he was asking forgiveness from the wife of the man that he killed. And the wife has given permission and has agreed that he could be exchanged for the defenders of Azovstal. So somehow this man has become at the center of a possible exchange for the defenders of Azovstal who have just been captured. Orlivka, another region in which there has been shelling, destruction of an area with a car here, building destroyed here. So shelling continues. NDBL says maybe Russia could de-sissify Sweden. After going after the Nazis of Ukraine, I guess it should be easy to go after the cocks of Western and Northern European civilization. Very interesting theory here. One killed today as a result of Russian army shelling in Kharkiv. So Kharkiv, despite the fact that there has been a full counteroffensive of the Ukrainians and that they have pushed back the Russian forces in many directions, Kharkiv still getting shelled by the Russian forces. Oh, Pineapple Platypotamus says ISIS, not Sissy, but both true, lol. Okay, you want them to go remove ISIS. I thought you wanted them to go remove the feminist from from Sweden. Well, you're right, both are true. I mean, this is two things that need to be done. Russian gymnast Ivan Kuliak banned for a year for wearing pro-Warzy symbol on podium next to Ukraine, next to a Ukrainian. So this guy is a gymnast and he had worn, you'll remember, the Z symbol. Now it's been a symbol representing the invasion of Ukraine, and it's been judged as a political symbol, and so the Gymnast Association has punished him for a year. He won't be able to compete. I think it's part of the whole movement for canceling Russian soldiers. But at the same time, when you are on the podium, I guess there are rules. And you cannot wear political symbols of any kind. So I guess it's a proper punishment. Sigalom Sengis has been listening to JF at 1.5x speed today. Now he sounds slow motion to me, lol. Is that correct? You hear me speak slower? I'm quite surprised that you hear me speak slower. And as a last news item, Pharma Bro Martin Shkreli has been released from prison. He is now in what they call community confinement, which is kind of imprisonment at home or something. Community confinement refers to home confinement or a halfway house. According to the Bureau's statement, Skredi's projected release date from the Bureau of Prisons is September 14. In a Wednesday Facebook post, Skredi shared a selfie with the caption, "Getting out of real prison is easier than getting out of Twitter prison." In 2017, a federal jury found Shkreli, dubbed Pharma Bro in the media, guilty on two counts of securities fraud and one count of conspiracy to commit securities fraud. He was sentenced to 7 years in prison in 2018. A judge also ruled that Shkreli must forfeit the money he made from fraud. As part of the $7.4 million forfeiture judgment, the United States sold the only copy of the Wu-Tang Clan album, Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, which was once owned by Shkreli. A former pharmaceutical executive known for raising the price of a life-saving drug by 5,000%. It was a anti-parasite drug that is useful for people with weak immune system or HIV. The pill was moved from $13.50 per pill to $750 per pill. I love this guy. I don't understand how this guy ended up in prison, because you always have people point out that he raised the price of this drug. But as far as I know, in capitalism, raising the price of a drug is okay. And I'm always wondering about this guy. Did he get caught on the securities fraud as a separate thing, but a thing that people started paying attention to because he was judged an asshole for raising the price of that drug? There's something wrong with this story, because it seems that both things came at the same time, that, oh, he's an asshole for raising the price, and, oh, he's also a criminal for securities fraud. In any case, I love his attitude. You know, if you really need that pill, I'm going to increase the price of it. And apparently there is a generic now of this medication, but this didn't drop the price at all. The generic is still above $700 today. So somehow the generic companies have said, oh yeah, we're going to follow the price of Martin. Sigidam Sengis says, I find JF's natural speaking pace to be quite chill, perfect for listening when winding down at the end of the day. Is that an insult? Are you saying that I'm just sharing loose thoughts that are good for when you rest? Sir, you should watch JFG tonight during your breakfast, eating raw eggs and tanning your balls. Charlie Cox says, didn't he raise them for the insurance companies, but said if someone couldn't afford it, he would give it to them? Oh yeah, I mean, I don't know the details of this, but that's a big weakness of the American system. It's ultimately not a free market system. It's a umbrella system that involves the interplay between insurance companies and pharmaceutical producers. It's bizarre as a system, very bizarre. Because, yeah, people pay enormous copays, so who knows? And it's weird. Sometimes you don't pay the copay, sometimes you pay it. Sometimes you have a deal at the sales point where they say, all right, we're going to give you a big bill, but you don't have to pay it. We're just giving you the big bill so that we can charge your insurance a lot. And it's like, okay, well, that sounds like fraud to me. That sounds like I should be imprisoned with Martin Shkreli for defrauding my insurance companies. Such a weird system. Sick system, the American health system. And it's not like Obamacare fixed any of it. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. I'll see you all tomorrow. And join the Patreon or the Subscribestar to support the show on a monthly basis.